Have you ever found yourself in an emotional standoff with your mate? You had an argument or disagreement, and each of you waited for the other to apologize. Or worse yet, if no one took the first step, did you sweep the issue and all your feelings under the rug? Well, today we'll learn how unresolved conflict and impossible expectations can damage the foundation of your marriage. Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Drewy. You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And in just a minute, Chip will pick up in our newest series, Uninvited Guests. Now, in this program, he'll debunk the notion that marriage should be easy by revealing three more lies that couples have believed. Well, with that, here's Chip with his message, The Perfect Marriage Myth.
One of the things I really love doing, although I'm not a senior pastor anymore, I was asked to help with a young married couples class. And so I started one of the classes, and I said something very matter-of-fact. I said, all of you will at some point in your marriage struggle with roles, money, in-laws, and sex. And I kind of paused, and I looked around the room, and it wasn't audible, but it was like, a gasp, like, what? And the others were like, oh, I can see other people with those kind of issues, but that could never be a problem for us. I assured them that no matter how much they loved each other, at some point they're going to have conflict and probably arguments about roles. Who does what and how often? Who takes care of this and who takes care of that? Hey, why didn't you fill up my car with gas, dear? And you think, well, because it's not my car. And then you find out that, in my case, well, her dad always filled up the car with gas. That's what men do. Well, they didn't do that at my house. My dad couldn't even change the oil. And it sounds funny now, but whether it's family of origin issues or discovering who should do what or when, or coming to some convictions about what does the Bible teach about some big fundamental roles, and then how's that going to work out in our relationship with our gifts? And how do we handle the finances and who owns which part of it? Or how do we stay on top of it together? Those are realities of two people living their lives and come together and they become one. And so roles are going to be an issue. I mean, we can laugh about who takes the garbage out, but I got news. Someone has to take the garbage out. Or in-laws. The first Thanksgiving comes up. Well, we're going to my parents. What do you mean, your parents? My parents want us to come there. Well, oh man, we can't do that. If we don't go to my parents, they'll be so disappointed and so hurt. And so who's going to tell which parent? And then pretty soon there's a big argument about that. And then we try the every other year plan and it doesn't matter what you do. And see, the issue is not in-laws. The issue is about loyalty. The issue is about expectations. The issue later becomes about boundaries. And so you're going to argue about in-law issues because at some point in time, if your mate seems to be putting her family ahead of your relationship, you've got a problem. If there's a chance that some things are happening where they're encroaching on your marriage or on how you're raising your children and you have to set some boundaries, those are tough conversations. Those were some of the hardest that I had to have with especially Teresa's father. Think about the issue of money. If you don't think you're going to have some conflicts over money, but it's never really about money. See, it's about values and priorities. We have so much money. What are we going to spend it on? All I'm trying to get to is that these are the kind of things that cause conflict. For others, they've got this secularized Hollywood view of sex and thinks it's all about some experience. And that's what matters versus how do you cherish and serve your mate? Some will come out of a promiscuous background and really struggle with past memories or issues they've had. Or others come from maybe a real holiness background and literally think sex is bad. And so if sex and roles and money and in-laws at different seasons are going to be major problems, guess what? You get stuck. What do you mean? I mean, you argue about them, you bury them, they come up. And you keep going round and round, and over time they build resentment, and you have a problem, and problems cause division, and division causes problems in a marriage. So what do? Well, a lot of couples just hunker down. Well, we'll just get through this. Or they bury it, and then resentment grows. If you're a baseball fan, what do you know about every baseball player? The greatest hitters of all time always have what? They have a slump. I mean, they can't figure it out. Been batting 325 for years and 45 home runs, and the season's 2 months in. I'm batting 128. Something's wrong. Well, what do? They watch film, and then they get a coach, an older player mentor. And they say, I don't know what's going on. I know I'm a good hitter, but something's wrong. Lie number 9 of what kills and destroys marriages is this. Getting help for our marriage from a counselor or a mentor is for losers. We should be able to figure this out on our own. And besides, we don't want to broadcast our problems to everyone around the world. We don't need outside help. The underlying message is being vulnerable is scary, and I'm afraid. And that can be the man, that can be the woman, that can be both of you. If we invite someone into this relationship, we're going to get exposed. Here's the truth. Every great athlete, artist, and business executive knows the value of a coach. We all get stuck on occasion, and we need help to work through these issues we can't see for ourselves. Now, sometimes that's an older friend. There was probably not a church that we ever served in that we didn't find an older couple or two that we felt like they're 10 years, maybe 15 years down the road, and we're going to become friends with them because I don't know what that decade looks like, but they look like they came through it pretty well. I want to hang out with someone that I can say, how did you go through your 50s or later? How did you go through your 60s? Or our kids are going away to school and the empty nest is coming. And how did you guys negotiate that? At other times, it's a little more formal. Maybe you meet with one of your pastors or maybe your small group leader is a gifted facilitator. Or maybe it's a really, really biblical Christian therapist. And you just say, we're stuck. And unfortunately, if you stay stuck, the problems don't get better. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. And over time, the problem isn't just the problem. The problem is your husband. The problem is your wife. It's the way he always is. It's the way she always is. And you begin to create a world where you start to label and blame your mate in ways that are really negative, and it's hard to get out of. My personal issue was that I was proud. I'm in seminary. I majored in psychology. I've led a ministry. I've helped other people with their problems. We did our marriage, our dating, God's way. We should figure this out. And the picture, literally, I had in my mind was, I'm going to walk in to some counseling area, and as I'm sitting out there in the waiting room, someone I know is going to walk in. Wow, I didn't know you had such big problems that you needed a counselor. And the truth is, I had such big problems, I really needed a counselor. I think I have at least average to above average intelligence, and my wife, certainly, she's a smart lady. Well, we couldn't figure it out. We got stuck. The greatest step we ever took was going to counseling. And I thought, if my marriage doesn't work, I can't be a pastor. Now, back then, we got the student rate, which was really good, $90 an hour, and I'm making $1,000 a month. It is the best $90 I spent in my whole life. That $90 taught us how to communicate. That $90 helped my wife and I both realize we're both insecure, we're both afraid, we both have baggage, and here is the beauty. I got to listen to my wife tell someone what some issues and problems and struggles were that I never heard in my life. And I got to share some things that I would have probably liked to say to her that I didn't have the courage to say. And my wife could eavesdrop and realize, wow, Chip's really hurting. He's really struggling. What I received out of that experience was compassion from my wife. And what I gained was understanding about, oh, she's doing this because that's how she grew up. That's how she was treated before. That's what she fears. I just can't encourage you enough. Do not believe this lie that getting help for your marriage from a counselor or a mentor is for losers. Every great athlete, artist, and business executive knows the value of a coach. We all get stuck on occasion, and we need help to work through the issues that we can't see for ourselves. My passage for this one is 1 Peter 5:5. In the same way, You who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God is opposed to the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. It was in humbling myself that I experienced God's favor, and our marriage got restored. It was work, but God did it. And he did it because I refused to believe at some point in time, and my wife refused to believe that we could do it on our own.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. We'll get back to today's message in just a minute, but quickly, throughout this series, Chip's emphasized the fact that great marriages require a lot of work, and that's where we come in. Keep listening after this message to learn more about a helpful new resource we've created that couples can use to grow and strengthen their relationship. Stick around to get all of the details. For now, here again is Chip to continue our series, Uninvited Guests.
Now, if things aren't resolved, and especially if you don't get outside help, it can lead to misbelief number 10 and number 11. And these are when you go from having problems with an issue to having problems with a person. And there's a difference. Lots of people have issues in their marriage, but unresolved issues over time, you shift to blaming the other person. And then you shift from not only blaming, but you assign motives. Not only is your husband that way, but the reason he does that is X, Y, and Z. Not only is your wife that way, but the reason she does it is X, Y, and Z. And then you play these tapes in your head, these tapes of, well, she only cares about this or that, or he only cares about this or that. And if she really loved me, if he really loved me, then. And you nurse these and you feed them. And you put up with stuff, and you bury it. And if you bury it deep enough, you get depressed. If you bury it for a while and then there's a spark, you explode. And then pretty soon, if you're not careful, you can find yourself living these parallel lives where you go and find your fulfillment in some area, and your mate goes and finds her fulfillment in some area, and you agree around money or work or kids, and you do this parallel life thing. And it breaks Jesus' heart because he made us to become one and to grow in intimacy. And so misbelief number 10 is a wife's misbelief. All he cares about is work and sports. I feel like I'm left to do all the work of raising our kids and taking care of our home. I wonder sometimes if he even cares. Notice this misbelief. It assumes you know what he really cares about. I feel like I'm left to do all the work raising the kids and taking care of our home. And the underlying message is I feel unimportant, unloved, rejected. I wonder, does he still love me? And that goes to other darker places like, am I still attractive? Am I still lovable? Am I worthwhile? And those things begin to create a lot of things in a woman's heart and life that lead to a very dark place. Here's the truth. Men default to areas where they feel comfortable. Your husband has fears and insecurities about being a spiritual leader and an effective father. Criticism and disrespect will heighten those fears and push him away. Do you get it? Let me go back to a little time prior to our counseling. I'm married. I've never been married before, but I marry someone who has been married before. Back in my mind, I'm thinking there might be some comparison here, and I may not be very good at being married. Think of every aspect. Well, we've been married about 6 months, and guess what? I'm a father. I don't have a clue. I know I'm not a good father. In fact, I'm inept. I'm inadequate. I don't even know what I'm doing. Later on in seminary, I wrote my thesis on the role and responsibility of the father in the family, mostly because I needed it desperately, and I thought, I better figure this out somehow. In addition, I'm in seminary. I have a really good memory. I don't know that I'm all that smart, but I got an amazing memory, and so I always did really well in school. So I'd been to college, I'd been to graduate school, I did really, really well, and now they dropped me in this place called seminary. I mean, the first week, Christology, pneumatology, eschatology. Man, there's all these words. What in the world are these people talking about? And they've been to Bible school, and they know this, and they know that. And then the first day in Greek is this. And then you go to a Hebrew class. And by the way, it's good to have you gentlemen read these 1,500 pages by 2 weeks. I mean, I was so overwhelmed. And for the first time in my, quote, educational life, I felt like I'm not sure I can make it here. So I'm afraid that I'm not going to be a good husband or a good father. And I've got this whole new world of I need to hold down a job and make money and go to seminary. And what I learned from that counselor was to help me see that I was afraid, and that was normal. It's okay if you have two jobs and you're afraid that you may not be able to support your family. Those are normal emotions. And as I shared those things, guess what? I looked over and I've got this wife with tears coming down her eyes, compassionate. She was concerned about me. But what I presented was, why are you messing with me? But what I was really hiding from was all my fears and all my insecurities and all my struggles that I did not know how to communicate, nor did she know how to get it out of me. The verse here is 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. My world changed when my wife was compassionate, kind, and understanding and created a safe place for my inadequacies and my fears and my insecurities. That was just the opposite of hands on her hips. All he cares about is work and sports. I defaulted, like most men do, to areas where we're confident. And that tends to be our work or sports or computers or whatever it is that makes us as a man feel like we're in control, we know what we're doing, and so we run there and we hide there. Is it good? No, but you need as a wife to understand that's the truth. And husbands, you have a very similar misbelief. The misbelief for husbands is lie number 11. It goes something like this. All my wife cares about is the kids and the calendar. Our sex life is on life support because she's always tired or making excuses. Sometimes I wonder if she even cares. Sound familiar, guys? The underlying message as a man is I feel rejected and I feel unimportant. And so what do? You assign motives and you assign blame. And by the way, I've had to learn this and then relearn it with different seasons. Please don't hear me say, I had 12 sessions and man, it's been great and no problems ever since. No, I did 12 sessions of counseling that helped me discover how much help I needed, where we needed to go, and we've been learning ever since. And if I could be so bold, we've been stuck. You mean you got stuck even while you were pastoring like a really large church? Yes. You got stuck in the empty nest when the whole world changed and seasons changed? Yep. What did you do? Well, I talked to mentors and coaches and friends who would really help me. And on a couple occasions, I know a guy who's an amazing biblical counselor. And I said, you know something? Teresa and I have been working through this for a few months and we're just kind of butting heads. You think you could meet with us 2 or 3 times and help us kind of get some perspective? Sure, Chip, be glad to. Can I tell you something? This happens in seasons. Sometimes it's right after that baby comes. I don't know how many young men have conceded, I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty. I said, what do you feel so guilty about? It was just the two of us. We had this great marriage and it was really wonderful. And then this baby came, and I mean, it was awesome, and it's cute, and I held it, and she held it, and we get up at night together, and we share everything, and it's wonderful. I mean, that was good for 3 or 4 months, but now I don't think she knows I exist. I mean, children are great, but I want to be number one. And at the same time, our intimacy is gone. She's preoccupied. Her whole world is wrapped up in that child. And he got a little attention at the gym. Or the barista sure is cute at the coffee shop. Or there's a coworker that is kindly asking, how are things at home? And is everything okay? You seem a little down. and you start sharing with someone else other than your wife some of your struggles, and they sure seem accepting. And if you want to get set up for an affair, if you want to get set up for destroying your marriage, set up for destroying your kids' lives, your future, perhaps your job, and a lot of other things that go with it, I just can't tell you how many times I've sat across the table from a godly man that in a weak moment allowed this misbelief to rattle around in his head and then into his heart, where he thought, all my wife cares about is the kids or the calendar or what's going on at church. The truth is, women default to areas where they feel confident. Your wife has fears and insecurities about her value, her identity, and her physical attractiveness. Sarcasm about sex, her looks, or preoccupation with the kids will only reinforce her feelings of inadequacy, and they will drive her away. The verse here is Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. See, what I learned was that my wife, growing up, when she was going through a rough time, she would go out by herself and play her guitar, and she's an introvert, and she would just get alone all by herself because that's her safe space. And what I learned was that she went through a very painful rejection at home and then another one in a marriage when her husband ran off with another woman. So in our conflicts, she's thinking, I may be failing as a wife. This could be happening again. She's feeling, I don't fit into the seminary crowd. All these people have all this education and chips in a different world. And someday, are we going to drift apart? She focused what? On our children and on other areas. Why? Because that's where she was comfortable. And what I learned was, when I heard she was as afraid and hurting and as insecure as me in some areas, and I got to hear that, guess what? I had compassion. I thought, oh, it's not just she only cares about the kids. It's that she's hiding there because that feels safe. Can I encourage you, if you need some help to get unstuck, make a phone call today to a friend, a mentor, a pastor, or a Christian biblical therapist, and talk to your mate and say, you know something? We're both smart people. If we could figure this out, we would have done it by now. Why don't we go to counseling? And if for any reason this has gone a bit too far and they won't go, you go by yourself. Because once you change, the whole system changes. Lord, would you please speak powerfully to those that are stuck and that are hurting? And part of what I shared is just, it's like I'm reading their mail and I know what's going on inside their home. You know what's going on and you want to help them. Would you give them the grace to take that step and to get some outside help? In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And you've been listening to Chip's message, The Perfect Marriage Myth, from our series, Uninvited Guests, Recognizing and Resisting the Attacks on Your Family. Well, our Bible teacher, Chip Ingram, is with me now. And Chip, throughout this series, you've highlighted a new resource we've created for couples. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Be glad to, Dave. We're calling them Marriage That Works Truth Cards. And there's two things that these cards do. They provide foundational truths about marriage, and they expose the prominent lies that almost every couple believes. Let me give you an example. When I finally meet the right person, everything will be fine. Well, then on that card, there has a stop sign, and then you flip it over, and it says marrying the right person is crucial. But even with the greatest mate, a successful marriage requires following God's design, putting in the hard work, and persevering through difficulties and relying on the Holy Spirit's power. And here's what I want you to get. When marriages get tough, when you hit a rough patch, and we all do, that lie creeps in. Maybe I married the wrong person. If I could just find the right person, and it's easy to get out of this relationship and find someone else. We want to help couples focus in on the truth that will build the kind of marriages that cause families to thrive. So if you would like to strengthen your marriage, let me encourage you, get these cards. Dave, could you take a minute and help people understand exactly how to get these?
Sure, Chip. It's actually really simple. throughout this entire series, for anyone who chooses to become a monthly partner with Living on the Edge, we'll send you these new Marriage That Works truth cards as our way of saying thanks. So please pray about supporting us. Your gifts have an eternal impact as we fight for marriages and families everywhere. To learn how to become a monthly partner, visit livingontheedge.org or call us at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003 or go to livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap donate. Well, be sure to join us next time as Chip continues his series, Uninvited Guests, Recognizing and Resisting the Attacks on Your Family. Until then, I'm Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.